I'd like to welcome you to the Bible study this evening, and it is my prayer that the Lord would greatly bless your heart through his precious word. Now, as we come down to look at Psalm 121 again, I wonder, what would be your favourite psalm? Quite often, whenever people are asked what is their favourite book in the Bible, many will say that the Psalms. And that is because the Psalms touch every aspect of our hearts and of our lives. There's not an emotion, there's not a difficulty that we will go through whereby the psalmist has gone through a similar difficulty and a similar experience, emotionally speaking. And I wonder, what psalm would you say is your favourite? For you, perhaps it may be Psalm 23, where we read that the Lord is our shepherd. Perhaps it is Psalm 46, where we read that the Lord is the Lord of hosts, and that we can be still and know that he is God. Maybe it is Psalm 34, a psalm of testimony about how the poor man cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Maybe it is Psalm 40, about how the servant of the Lord cried to the Lord, waited patiently upon him, and the Lord heard the servant's cry. I have no doubt that for many that are listening this evening, the Psalm 121, whether it is your favourite or not, yet it is perhaps one of your favourite psalms, because it is a psalm of promises. It is a psalm that directs us straight to the Lord and all that he is to us. Whenever we looked at this psalm last week, you and I realised that according to the title, being a song of degrees, that it is set in a certain context. It is in the context of Jewish males who would go three times a year and they would travel from where they lived to Mount Zion, to Jerusalem, and in particular to the temple. And there they would go to offer up their sacrifices to the Lord, to worship the Lord. And there they would worship with all of God's people from around the Middle East. But while we saw it was a psalm of degrees, of ascents, ascending up to Mount Zion, we saw it was also a psalm of difficulties. Because unlike today, whenever there are nice tarmac roads which can gradually lead us up an ascent, in the time when this psalm was written, about 1000 BC, there were no such tarmac roads. And as such, whenever the person would walk step after their step, their muscles would ache as they would have to climb hill after hill. Their feet perhaps could slip as they would have to walk over loose stones and even along mountain sides that were perilous. Their endurance would wane as the sun with its intensity would beat down upon them. And even as they would suffer fear and dismay in the darkness of the night. Of course, their lives would be endangered with the many bandits and thieves that there would be throughout the narrow valleys. And as a result, whenever we come into the psalm, we read about a man. Read about how he looks to the hills, not for inspiration, but he looks to the hills and he sees them as difficulties. He sees them as problems to overcome. And yet, as he says, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, and he will cry out, from whence cometh my help? He encourages himself because he says, my help cometh from the Lord. And that is the central theme of this psalm. From whence cometh our help? Our help cometh from the Lord. And while the Lord is the strength of the believer, and praise God if you're struggling tonight, you can be encouraged because the Lord is your strength to overcome the hills of difficulty, to get up the hill step by step and bit by bit. Yet, we saw last week that it is possible, and it's just possible, that there is a second person coming into this psalm, because the pronoun changes from me and my in verses 1 and 2 to thee and thy in verses 3 to 8. And here we have perhaps a second person, maybe an older pilgrim, an older experienced traveller, coming along and seeing the young man encouraging himself in the Lord. And he comes along to encourage the young pilgrim further as he journeys towards Jerusalem to worship the Lord. And as he comes along, he declares to this young pilgrim that the Lord is not only his strength in verses 1 and 2, but the Lord is also his support in verses 3 and 4. The Lord will keep his feet from falling there on the loose stones and in the perilous mountain sides. The Lord is also his shade there to protect him from the burning sun and the despairing moon. And the Lord is his Saviour to deliver them out of the hands of the bandits and the thieves. Or in essence, all that that young man would need, and indeed all the pilgrims, that all that they would need, the Lord was their help. From whence cometh their help? Their help cometh from the Lord. And having looked at verses 1 to 4, and those first two truths, the Lord is our strength and the Lord is our support, it is my desire this evening to look at the final two. And may the Lord richly bless your heart through these truths. And just as we did last week, I want to apply each of these truths in two ways. And I believe they are contextually accurate, because the first way of applying it is about our growing in Christ. As the Jewish travelers would travel up to the temple there at Mount Zion, they'd be going there to see the object lessons of the temple and of the sacrifices that would teach them about Christ, and how they in thankfulness would give their lives and surrender to him for all that he had done for them. It's about growing in Christ, seeing him, loving him, living for him with all that you have. But then there is a second application of going to Christ. Because the worshippers were not simply going to worship alone. No, they were going to worship there at Mount Zion with God's people from all over. Worship the Lord together. Mount Zion in Scripture is a picture of glory. And how one day you and I will go to be with Christ, which is far better. We will dwell with him, he will dwell with us. And there at Mount Zion, glory itself, we will worship the Lord with people from all over the world, every tribe, tongue, and nation, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and power." Let us look at this psalm, and let us look at this truth that the Lord is our shield. You see, in verse 5, we read the second, older, more experienced pilgrim encourages the younger by saying, "The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shield." You know, it was essential for the traveler, the pilgrim, to be given strength to climb the hills. It was essential that they would be given support there for their feet by the Lord as they would have to traverse over the loose stones and the loose rocks, obstacles and stumbling blocks. Yet, if that was all they ever got, then they would never make it to Jerusalem. They'd never make it to Mount Zion. Why? Because they also needed protection from the heat of the day and the coldness of the night. Take, for example, the heat of the sun during the daytime. The sun itself is a ball of fire. Can you guess how hot the sun is in its core? Scientists declare that at its core, the sun is estimated to be around 15 million degrees Celsius. Now, that is hot. While some of this heat will make its way to the earth and it is a great benefit to mankind because plants will grow and food will come, among many other things, yet the sun can be very dangerous, particularly in the Middle East. The Jewish men travelling to Jerusalem three times a year, and those three occasions would correspond roughly to our April, June and October. I am told that in 2019 alone, that the temperature for these 3 months, April, June and October, in Israel, in Tel Aviv, that they reached temperatures as high as 41 degrees, 43 degrees and 41 degrees Celsius. Those are huge temperatures. And I'm sure anyone who has ever traveled to Israel will be able to tell you just all the advice that they were given about how they were to drink lots of water so they didn't become dehydrated. They were to wear a hat to prevent the sun from hitting their head, and they were to spend time in the shade wherever possible, whether it be the shade from a large tree, the shade from a building, the shade from a large rock. Why? Because the sun is dangerous. You see, in temperatures such as 30 to 40 degrees Celsius and higher, in such cases, the body will fatigue. It will get weary and it will become exhausted. In some cases, it can lead to headaches, to nausea, and to dizziness. And in extreme cases, heat can lead to sunstroke, where the mind is confused and the person does not know who they are or where they are.
And it's therefore no wonder that in Psalm 121, the verse 6, we read about the sun and how it can smite. Or indeed in Isaiah 49, verse 10, we read about how the sun can smite a person. What dangers existed for this young pilgrim. And even though he hadn't contemplated them in verses 1 to 2, yet the old experienced pilgrim would know that the young man would come across him sooner or later. And so preparing him, he encouraged him whenever he began to feel the heat of the noonday sun, that he would be encouraged because the Lord was not only his strength and support, the Lord was his shield in the heat of the day. Let me ask you, child of God, as you seek to grow in Christ, do you know what it is to become weary? Do you know what it is to become exhausted? Do you know what it is to become tired? Let me ask you, child of God, this evening, do you ever find your body so weary that you struggle to stay awake in times of prayer? Do you ever find your mind so tired that you struggle to stay focused whenever you read God's word and try to meditate upon it? Do you ever find your body and mind together so exhausted that you struggle to serve the Lord in ways you would love to if only you had the energy? Do you ever become exhausted and tired and weary? Well, be encouraged because the Lord is our shield. Let me ask you, child of God, as you seek not merely to grow in Christ, to see Him, to love Him, to serve Him, but as you seek to go to Christ, just in general in the Christian life, do you ever find that the constant struggle against sin to be wearisome? Do you ever find a constant witness to loved ones, whether it be of your own family, whether it be of friends, or whether it be in the workplace? Do you ever find such constant witness to be tiring? Do you ever find yourself so exhausted and smitten with spiritual sunstroke, as it were, that you begin to question things? You begin to question whether the service that you're doing is worth it at all. You begin to question whether you really are a Christian. You begin to question, does God actually exist? You're so tired. You're so weary. It's like you've received a sunstroke. You don't really know who you are or where you are. If so, child of God, be encouraged this evening because the Lord has promised you and me in verses 5 to 6, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shield. Upon thy right hand the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord may not take the sun away, but he will be a shade for us in the sun. Notice with me a number of truths. The Lord is a protecting shade. The Hebrew term for shade used here in Psalm 121 comes from a root word which means to hover over, or indeed to cover. And I only learned today that the Latin word umbro, from which you and I get the word umbrella, means shade. And the umbrella basically is a picture of that which hovers over us. And what does it do? It is there to protect us. You imagine there someone on holiday, whether they're in Tenerife or somewhere else, and there they have, they're on the beach, and the sun is beating down. And what do? They have a huge umbrella. I'm not talking about a wee umbrella for rain here. No, I'm talking about a huge umbrella for the sun to protect them as they would sit on the beach. That's the idea here. The Lord is our shade. The Lord is our protector. You see, men and women, the Lord will protect us from ever getting so wearied and so exhausted that we cannot go on. You think about Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 19, we read that Elijah is in the wilderness. And there the sun has been beating down on him. And in verse 4, Elijah is so exhausted, he's so tired, that he requests to the Lord that he might die. He says, "It is enough now, Lord. Take away my life." Have you ever reached that point where you've wished that the Lord would just take your life? Elijah felt he could not go on. He did not feel he had the strength to fight against wickedness anymore. He did not feel he had the endurance to serve God any longer. He was smitten with spiritual sunstroke. No more did he see himself as God's servant, as God's prophet. He just wanted to die. What did the Lord do? Did the Lord give up on Elijah? Did the Lord just leave Elijah alone? Did the Lord just take Elijah right there and then to glory? No. Because the Lord still had a work for Elijah to do. And we read about how the Lord would come down to Elijah, and the Lord would say to Elijah, "Elijah, the journey is too great for thee, but The Lord would give Elijah food that would strengthen him, and he would go on the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights. The Lord didn't give up on Elijah. The Lord protected Elijah from falling to that stage where he couldn't go on. Men and women, the Lord protected Elijah from giving up. He protected Elijah from irrecoverable exhaustion. And so the Lord will protect you. Dear friend, if you ever feel like giving up this evening, be encouraged. The Lord will protect you from being so weary and so exhausted that you cannot go on. The Lord will strengthen you with the food of His Word. I encourage you this evening, if you're struggling, look to God and His Word. And go in the strength of what God gives you. He is a protecting shade. The Lord is a sufficient shade. While you and I can think of the Lord as a protecting shade in the sense of an umbrella there protecting over us, hovering over our head so that we can get our bodies covered. Yet, let's be honest, sometimes some of those umbrellas, if you've ever sat underneath some of them, they may protect some of you, but if you're lying there, they may not protect your toes. Something may be sticking out and maybe getting the sun. But I want to tell you, the picture that we are given in Scripture of one who hovers over us and one who protects us, not simply of an umbrella. It's something far greater. In Isaiah chapter 32 and the verse 2, Isaiah the prophet speaks about the Messiah, and he declares regarding the Messiah, about Jesus Christ to come. He says, as the shadow that he is, as the shadow or indeed the shade of a great rock in a weary land. The word for rock that is used here in Isaiah chapter 32 is the same word that is used, not of all rocks in the Bible, but of some. In Judges chapter 15, verse 11, we read about the rock Edom. That rock was able at the top of it to hold 3,000 soldiers. This is no small rock. This is not a pebble. No, this is a huge cliff, a huge mountain rock. And in fact, we're told then in Isaiah 32 that the Lord is not simply a rock like Edom. No, He is a great rock, even greater than Edom itself. And you think about a huge cliff, and there as the sun would beat, you could go to that cliff, and there it would give you shade. It would give you shade. And it would be sufficient to cover not merely your head, but to cover your toes, and to cover you from top to bottom many, many times over. Men and women, the Lord is a sufficient shade to cover every part of you. Whether it be your mind that's exhausted, whether it be your feet that are exhausted, whether it be your hands that are exhausted, whatever it may be spiritually or physically or practically or emotionally, the Lord is able to be your protecting shade. The Lord is a protecting shade. He is a sufficient shade. The Lord is an energizing shade. You see, a shade does not simply bring protection, it also brings refreshment. Whenever we read about a rock in the weary land, that same word for rock is not only used of Rock Eden, but it's also used in the book of Numbers in the chapter 20, where the Lord would refresh His people from a rock. There Moses would strike the rock and the water would flow abundantly from it to refresh the people in the wilderness. In Isaiah chapter 40 and the verse 30, we read of those who are fainting and weary, even those who are young and should instead be filled with zeal and with energy, full of life, but yet we read of them fainting, we read of them weary. And then in Isaiah 40 verse 31, we are promised, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall be refreshed and renewed. We read they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Child of God, do you feel that you need protected, but do you also feel that you need refreshed? Refreshed as you seek to see the Lord in His Word. Refreshed as you seek to pray. I want to encourage you, you can. The Lord is our shade to refresh us. Are you one who's fainting this evening? Are you one who's weary? Well, I want to tell you, you can rise up like wings. And you can rise high in your walk with God like the eagles. You can not merely walk, but you can run and not be faint. Be encouraged. Just like Elijah was not merely protected from complete exhaustion and dying, but he was refreshed because as he was given the food, he was able to go in the strength of that food And so the Lord is able to protect you and refresh you, to renew you and to energize you. You see, think about the scriptures and how they teach us about the Sabbath day. You know, it's interesting that while the Lord does speak about how he is the sender of strength and refreshment, yet here in Psalm 121, and indeed often in Scripture, perhaps most of the time in Scripture, the Lord is not simply the one who sends that refreshment. The Lord himself is that refreshment. You see, we read here that the Lord himself is our keeper, and the Lord himself is our shade. And see, just as the Sabbath day is a day whereby we are able to set aside many things and to focus on the Lord's, it's as we focus on him that it is a day of rest. It's as we focus on him that's a day of refreshment. It's as we focus on him, see him in his word, see him in song, see him as we praise him and in prayer, then we are strengthened. Then we are renewed. Then we are refreshed for the day ahead. It's when we see the Lord. Let me ask you, child of God, do you need to be refreshed and protected? Well, then look to the Lord today. See him in his word. And so be strong in him. Notice with me also, fourthly, the Lord is a sure shade. In the context of verse 5, we read not merely that the Lord is our shade, but we read just before that, that the Lord is our keeper. And the word for keeper here is exactly the same words that we find in verse 3 and verse 4. And for those who have a very good memory, you'll remember that last week that word for keep simply means to hedge about. And in fact, it's used way back in Genesis chapter 3 about how the cherubim would keep the way to the tree of life. And there the cherubim would keep it with a flaming sword. And they would keep from people coming from all directions. This is a sure protection that we have. This is a sure shield. Oh yes, it is sufficient to protect every part of us, but it is also sure because it's able to protect us at all times, no matter what the situation, from exhaustion and from weariness. If you turn to me, please, in the Word of God to the book of Mark and the chapter 4. Mark's Gospel in the chapter 4. And at the commencement of this chapter, Jesus Christ, he begins to teach by the way, by the seaside. And as he does, he begins to teach by parables. And he gives the parable of the sower. We read about one who went out to sow in verses 3 and 4. And we read in verse 5 that some of the seed fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun, this hot, intense, burning ball of fire, whenever that sun rose up, the seed was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. However, in verse 8 we read about how some of the seed fell on good ground. And that seed that fell in this particular good ground, it did yield fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100. Whenever the sun came against it, it didn't affect it. It still brought forth so much fruit. Let me ask the question, what made the difference? Well, you see, the first ground was stony, not in the sense that it had lots of little stones in it, but the idea is that it was like a solid stone, a bit like cement, and it only had a few millimeters, or indeed a centimeter or so of soil. And that means whenever the seed landed on it, there was no depth of earth, we read. Nothing there that it could go down and get roots. However, whenever the seed landed on good ground, it was able to go deep with its roots and be able to get the nourishment from the soil itself. You see, that's what made the difference. And child of God, this is the encouragement. While someone can profess to be saved, and then whenever intensity comes in life, like the sun coming to scorch, they will wither and die because they're not united to Christ. They can get no nourishment from Christ, no strength from seeing him because they're not his. But child of God, you and I are genuinely saved. Whenever the sun comes to burn us with all its intensity, you and I will be able to remain, and you and I can still bring forth fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Why? Because we have roots. We're united to Christ. We can draw nourishment and nutrients and moisture from Christ. This is a sure shade that we have. Protect us at all times, in all occasions. Notice with me, fifthly, the Lord is also an encouraging shade.
Because in Psalm 121 we read in verses 5 to 6 that the experienced pilgrim spoke not merely about how the Lord would be a shield and a protector in the daytime with the sun, but also at the night time with the moon. We read there, "The Lord is thy keeper," the older pilgrim said. "The Lord is thy shield upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night." Why did the older pilgrim say this? Why include the moon? It doesn't give you a lot of intense heat. Well, you see, the older pilgrim knew from his experience that there were dangers in the night as well as the day. You see, whenever it came to night time, there would be the danger of coldness because there would be a significant change in temperature from the noonday to the midnight. The coldness. There would also be the danger of darkness. See, during the daytime, the pilgrim would be able to enjoy the warm fellowship with others as they would travel together on the road to Jerusalem. But yet, whenever it came to nighttime, people would go into all their own little tents, and there this young pilgrim would be all alone. And he could feel not merely the icy bite of the cold temperatures, but he could also feel the icy bite of loneliness. He could feel all alone. More than that, during the daytime, the pilgrim could see far ahead through the cloudless days and the days that are free from mist, and he could see perhaps Mount Zion away in the distance. But yet, whenever it was darkness, Mount Zion could seem so far away because he couldn't see it at all. And he could wonder, am I ever going to get there? You see, the nighttime could be so discouraging to the pilgrim. But the older pilgrim knew the faithfulness of the Lord and how the Lord had been with him again and again as he journeyed to Jerusalem those three times a year for many years. The older pilgrim knew the Lord had always been faithful to him. There in the daytime and in the nighttime. There in the times of the burning sun. But also in the times of the coldness and the loneliness and the darkness. Child of God. Whenever the children of Israel were going through the wilderness, the Lord protected them not merely during the daytime with the pillar of the cloud, but he also protected them in the nighttime with the pillar of the fire. There to give light in the darkness. There to give warmth in the coldness. And child of God, be encouraged this evening. Perhaps you are not merely feeling the exhaustion of the day, but perhaps you're feeling the loneliness and the darkness of the night. Maybe you feel alone. Maybe you feel that God has left you. Maybe you feel that no one understands what you're going through. I want to tell you, the Lord is with you in the darkness and in the coldness, as well as during the day. The Lord is with you. Maybe you cannot see that there is a way forward in your walk with God. Maybe you cannot see the Lord ever keeping his promise and blessing your service. Maybe you try to draw near to the Lord, but yet he's not drawing nigh to you in your quiet time. He's not thrilling your soul again, and you're relying on past blessings. Maybe that's where you are today. Well, I want to tell you that the Lord is there in the darkness. He's there in these times, and he's there to protect you. Maybe you cannot see that you will ever reach the celestial city of glory. Maybe you feel that you will never be part of God's people as you will worship the Lord from all over the world. And do so worshiping the Lord with all God's people with a perfect heart. Maybe tonight it just seems like a dream to you. Maybe it just seems like a fairy story. Maybe it just seems so unreal. And as a result tonight, maybe you're just cast down. You don't feel there's any point in going on. Yes, so, child of God, I want to tell you that the Lord is your protection. Child of God, go to the Word of God tonight. And like the psalmist cry, open up thy mine eyes. Pray, Lord, open up mine eyes that I will see the promises of your Word, that you are with me and you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Lord, open up mine eyes that I will see that you are one who understands. You see, the psalmist was able to say in Psalm 139, "Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways." Go to God's Word.
Cry to him, open up mine eyes, and I tell you, the Lord will show you himself to be these things. Go to God's word. Maybe if you feel that you cannot see a way forward in your walk with God, remember that the Lord is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. There's hope with him. In 2 Kings chapter 6, read about Elisha and one of his servants. They woke up in the morning, and it seemed like a hopeless situation because an army surrounded them, the army of Syria. But God opened up their eyes to see the Lord was with him, and the Lord was protecting him. There was a way forward. If you cannot see the Lord ever keeping his promise and blessing your service, blessing you to proclaim his word, well, I encourage you, cry, Lord, open up mine eyes. The Lord can take you to Galatians chapter 6, whereby you're promised in verses 7 and 9 that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And therefore, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall, not might, but we shall reap, if we faint not. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 58, the Apostle Paul says, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Perhaps you cannot see the Lord ever drawing nigh to you as you draw nigh to him. Well, I want to tell you, and the Lord has promised in James 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. In Psalm 27, 14, the psalmist said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The Lord can thrill your heart again and give you a glimpse of him afresh again, that you will not need to be relying on past blessings alone, but you can rely on future, on present blessings in your quiet times. Maybe you feel tonight that you cannot ever reach the celestial city of glory. That just seems like a fairy story. I want to tell you, Jesus Christ in John's Gospel, chapter 14, he said, verses 2 and 3, he says, child of God, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, if it was just a fairy tale, if it was just a story, he says, I would have told you. But no, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, the Lord is an encouraging, a refreshing shade. Even whenever we can get discouraged in the nighttime. Let me just finish with this point by saying that the Lord is an ever-present shade. This old pilgrim, he used a very important term and phrase. He said, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Now, I am pretty sure there'll be someone who's left-handed listening to the message this evening. And while there are people who are left-handed in this world, yet about 90% of the people I'm told in this world are right-handed. And Scripture will speak about the right hand as the dominant hand, the powerful hand, the working hand. For example, the Lord says about his hand not being shortened that it cannot save. Read about the right hand of God. Well, the right hand being the working hand, the dominant hand, we read in Psalm 109, verse 6, but I see it and stands at a person's right hand to hinder it. In Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1, we read about the high priest Joshua and how Satan would stood at his right hand to discourage him. And in fact, that right side was always the right side in a Jewish court for the prosecution. And often if you see a courtroom, maybe in a film, you'll see that the prosecution desk is always on the right side. You see, the right hand, the right side, is where Satan will come to hinder us, to discourage us. But I want to tell you, the Lord is at your right hand. There to protect you at all times. In Psalm 109:31, we're told, the Lord shall stand at the right hand to save. In Psalm 16, verse 8, the psalmist said to the Lord, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Speaking about the Lord, and particularly the people of God, Matthew Henry said of this verse in Psalm 121, he says, let the people of God but turn to their duty, and they shall find God ready to them, to assist them and give them success. Child of God, do you ever feel exhausted and weary? Like you're ready to crumble or wilt under the intense heat of the sun, that you're exhausted and you've got no strength left to give. I want to encourage the Lord as your shade. There to protect you from complete exhaustion and give you strength to go on. Child of God, do you ever feel alone and depressed in the night times? Do you ever feel like there's no point in going on and continuing to grow in Christ or go to Christ because it'll never be achieved? I want to tell you, the Lord is your protector in the night time. He's there to protect you. Wherever you are, wherever the Lord asks you to go, no matter what you're going through, the Lord is your shade and your protector. Notice with me finally this evening, the Lord is not only our strength to climb the high and lofty hills, the Lord is not only our support to keep our foot from falling, the Lord is not only our shade to protect us against exhaustion and depression, the Lord is our Savior. You see, even if a person could conquer the hills, even if one of the pilgrims could stay safe in the loose rocks, and even if they could be sheltered from the hot sun and the dark nights, the pilgrim needed to be protected and to be delivered from the bandits and the thieves. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus Christ speaks a parable about a man who traveled between Jericho and Jerusalem. And as the man did, he was attacked by thieves. Those thieves stripped him of his clothing. They wounded him and left him for dead. Why did Jesus Christ use this illustration? Well, because Jesus Christ, he uses this illustration, he uses this parable like his other parables, because it was a common occurrence. Just like those who would go out to the field to sow seed, just like those who would reap a harvest, just like those who would catch fish in their nets, so thieves and bandits on the way to Jerusalem would attack people. It was a common occurrence. And this older pilgrim knew that there were such thieves. They're hiding in the narrow valleys, waiting for people who would have to begin to go single file. The older pilgrim knew of the bandits who would pounce suddenly on travelers. And the older pilgrim knew that travelers would be outmatched and outnumbered. They may have a staff, but they would have a sword or a stave. They may be one or they may be two if they're traveling with a companion. But the bandits could number many. They were outmatched. And so while it was a sad reality, yet the older pilgrim was able to speak to the younger pilgrim on the way to Jerusalem about his own experience, and was able therefore with assurance to say in verse 7, "The Lord shall preserve thee, young pilgrim. He shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Thy going out to Jerusalem and thy coming home again, even this time and forevermore." Notice with me, just 2 points. The Lord is our Savior, but He is our unbeatable Savior. He shall preserve us from all evil. You see, a single traveler was no match for the bandits, but the bandits were no match for the Lord who was with the traveler. 1 Samuel chapter 17, David was no match for Goliath. Goliath had bigger weapons and bigger muscles than David, but Goliath is no match for the Lord. In Daniel chapter 6, Daniel was no match for the hungry lions. They had bigger teeth than Daniel did, and they had greater strength than Daniel, but the lions are no match for the Lord. In Judges chapter 15, Samson was no match for the 1,000 Philistine soldiers. They had better equipment than Samson did. All he had was a jawbone. They had swords and spears, and they had training. But those 1,000 Philistine soldiers are no match for the Lord. See, men and women, you and I may have great enemies, but they're no match for the Lord. You and I may have the enemy of the devil with his subtle deceptions and doubts. In John 8:44, we read that Satan is a liar. He lies to us. He deceives us just like he sought to deceive and did deceive Eve. He's a liar. And we read in Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness and rulers in high and heavenly places. They speak about heavenly matters. They attack us about God's word. We can't trust God. We can't trust what He says. It's a great enemy, greater than you and me. Notice with me that we also have the enemy of the world with its attractive distractions. In First John chapter 2, verse 15, we're told, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." Why do we need to be told it? Because it is a temptation. It is an enemy. We read also in verse 16 about the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. We also have the enemy of the flesh.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, we're told how the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. There's a battle going on so that we cannot do the things that we would. These enemies are bigger than us, and in ourselves we are outmatched. But I want you to be encouraged, because whenever we have the Lord, we're not outmatched. You see, the Lord is greater than Satan. And for the child of God, not for the ungodly, not for the enemy of God, but for the child of God, whenever you put your faith in Christ, you are united to Him. We read in 1 John chapter 2 in the verse 27 that Christ anointed you with the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit dwells within inside the believer, and He bears witness with your heart regarding the truth of God's word. You cannot fall away from Christ because the Holy Spirit is within you. Oh yes, Satan can deceive and put doubts, but you cannot fall from Christ because you have the anointing of the Spirit of God. Satan is no match for the Lord. That's the context. Whenever we read then in chapter 4, 1 John, that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. He that is in the hearts of the world. The devil himself. Whenever it comes to the world with its distractions and attractions, while there are the things of this world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, yet we're told in chapter 2 in the verse 15 in 1 John that the love of the Father, if He is in you, and that overcomes the love of the world. The love of God the Father, He gave His only begotten Son. The Son who came for us. The Son who humbled Himself for us. The Son who lived for us. The Son who would be rejected but for us. The One who would then go to the cross for us. The One who would suffer so much pain for us and agony on the cross for us. The One who would be forsaken by the Father for us. The One who would rise again for us. The One who would ever pray for us. The One who would ever be tender and ever be compassionate for us. Whenever we would fall and stumble. Whenever we see the love of God the Father in sending Him and in receiving Him. And in using Him, whenever we see that love, we will have love for the Father above the world. What about the flesh as our great enemy? Well, we see in Galatians chapter 5 and the verse 16 that if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, the Apostle Paul summed it up well. He said in Ephesians chapter 6, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Child of God, there are enemies in this world. Bandits and thieves are rob us in our walk with God and our growth in Christ. Bandits and thieves are rob us of our peace in God and our joy in God and our love for God. But God is greater than our enemies. See, David said to Goliath, and everyone went out to fight him, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he overcame. Daniel said, regarding the lions, he says, my God has sent His angel and has shut the lion's mouths. Daniel overcame in the Lord. After defeating the Philistines, Samson called to the Lord and said, Thou hast given this deliverance, this great deliverance, into the hand of Thy servant. Are you struggling with doubts today, child of God? Doubts about your salvation, doubts about God's presence, doubts about God's help, doubts about God blessing His word as you proclaim it to loved ones, doubts about God keeping you. I want to tell you, you can overcome those doubts. Read God's word. Cry, Lord, by Your Spirit, bear witness in my heart of the truth of these promises. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Child of God, are you struggling with distractions today? Oh, there's possessions you want to get, hobbies and pleasures you want to enjoy to the detriment of your walk with God, positions of work and leadership you want to achieve, or indeed popularity you want to attain and keep, oh, to the detriment of God's. Living for His kingdom. And be encouraged. You can overcome them by seeing in God's word, by the Spirit of God, the love of the Father to you in Christ. Let me ask you, child of God, are you struggling with temptations today? Maybe it is a temptation with lust. Maybe it is a temptation to lose your temper. Maybe it is a temptation to gossip and to slander. Maybe it is a temptation to drink. I want to tell you, if you walk in the Spirit, read the word of God. Surrender your life to God and say, Lord, give me strength. The Spirit of God can give you strength. He can conform you through the Word of God into the likeness of Christ by showing you Him.
Well, you see, the Lord is an unbeatable Savior. He can prevent our legs from being tired and give our legs strength to overcome those hills. He can keep our feet from falling and make them safe and sure. He can look after our head from exhaustion and our body. But the Lord also can preserve our soul and preserve it from all evil. The Lord is an unbeatable Savior, and the Lord is a continual Savior. Because in verse 8, the older pilgrim said to the younger, "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Many things go out of date. I was going to get some milk from a cereal just the other day and it went out of date. It didn't have a pleasant smell to it. It wasn't that bad, it was not out of date, but it was a day out of date. Eggs can go out of date within a couple of weeks. Rice can go out of date in a couple of months. A can of baked beans can go out of date in over a year. Sugar and honey can go out of date after many years. A passport can go out of date in 10 years. But I want to tell you, the Lord and His love to you, the Lord is deliverance for you. It never goes out of date. It is forevermore. Forevermore. Every time you see something out of date in your cupboard or in your fridge, remember, God's promises and His love to you in Christ never goes out of date, because it's based in Christ. As I conclude, this is a wonderful psalm. A psalm filled with promises. A psalm that directs us to the Lord. Whenever there's the hills of difficulties, whenever there's a danger of falling and slipping, whenever there are dangers of exhaustion, of tiredness and depression, whenever there are dangers of enemies around about, the Lord is our all in all. Many of you will know the story of David Livingstone, the Scottish missionary who was sent by God to Africa. During one of his trips into the very interior of Africa, going where no white man had ever gone before, David Livingstone was there for many years and no one heard anything from him. No letter was sent back home. No other organization knew anything about him. He was there, and there was no communication at all. And people began to wonder, is he alive? Is he still going on with the work of God? What happened, David Livingstone? And after many years, a man was sent to go and to look for David Livingstone. And after a long search, he found David Livingstone. But he found him alive, and he found him still serving God with zeal. What kept David Livingstone in the loneliness, in the exhaustion, in the darkness, in the difficulties? What kept him? It was these promises. You see, before David Livingstone went out to Africa, there in 1928, or 1941 as a 28-year-old, do you know what he did? He read Psalm 121 with his father and with his sister. Whenever his mother-in-law would write something to David Livingstone, it was Psalm 121. Whenever his mother-in-law would pray for David Livingstone, it was Psalm 121. The promises of God, that God is our all in all, our helper, our strength, our support, our shield, and our Savior. Child of God, will you memorize these promises? And will you have them for the day of difficulty? In the day of trial. And will you rejoice in the Lord for all He is to you by grace? We didn't deserve any of it, but by grace. And will you then, in God's strength, in the power of His might, be like David Livingstone, living for God day by day, serving Him, even in the exhaustion, even in the depressions, even in the darkness, going on with Him, growing in Christ, seeing Him, loving Him, and going to Christ. May the Lord make you so for His own glory. Amen. Heavenly Father, I want to thank Thee that the Lord is our all in all. Lord, He is our strength. He made heaven and earth. He is our support to keep our feet from falling. He is our shield to protect us from complete and utter exhaustion and depression. And Father, I thank Thee also that He is our Savior. Deliver us out of the hands of our enemies. And preserve our soul from all evil, now and forevermore. Help us to know this psalm. Help us, Lord, to think upon this psalm. And help us, Lord, to be like those who have been faithful of old, growing in Christ and going to Christ faithfully in love for Him who first loved us. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen.